two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and DeGenevieve, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
All right, I'll just be the casual observer in this scenario. But in my view, the state of Utah just didn't have a sound enough legal argument ready to go and lined up this week to convince a Utah judge to keep Utah's new abortion trigger law in place, which bans abortions except for in rare circumstances. So it was put on hold by a judge on Monday at the request of Planned Parenthood. So we're going to ask Davis County Attorney Troy Rawlings, who told me that he was going to look through all the arguments. I want to ask him, where did the state fail in round one?
Well, first of all, you're at kind of a disadvantage if you're the state, because obviously Planned Parenthood had this lawsuit ready to go, right? As soon as Roe v. Wade was overturned, boom, you know, almost immediately this stay was pushed. So, you know, as you're trying to scramble and figure out how to argue against it, there's no question that you're probably on your heels a little bit if you're the state.
Troy Rawlings, Davis County Attorney, good morning.
Hey, good morning. And I think that that last observation Dave just made is a fair observation. Thanks for having me on. Let me give, I guess, for those who are supportive of the state of Utah's side in the legislation, some good news. Tyler Green, who is arguing this on behalf of the state of Utah, is an excellent attorney. He's very, very good. But I think to Debbie's point, here's kind of the quick version of what happened. The Supreme Court decision comes down Friday the 24th. On Saturday the 25th, PPAA, Planned Parenthood Association of Utah, files their motion electronically on a Saturday. The Attorney General's office is served electronically on a Saturday for a hearing that's to take place on Monday. Now, what was filed on Saturday was their motion, a very extensively well-done, well-written motion, along with supporting evidence in the form of a declaration from a doctor. So when you get to that hearing on Monday, it's almost one-sided to the degree now. And they have a little bit of a heavy burden, PPAA does, but they met it in part maybe because of the timing here. The state of Utah hadn't had a chance to file any responsive pleadings, briefings, declarations. So the judge has before them an extensive record of what PPAA has filed with their motion and their declaration. That's 83 pages combined total when you look between the motion and declaration. And the state of Utah is literally there on the fly responding verbally and orally to something they were just served with electronically on Saturday. So that's part of the answer, I think, as to what happened here and how this went down.
That starts to paint a picture that I think a lot of folks were unaware of what was going on behind the scenes, if you will. I mean, obviously, court is very public, but in terms of the motions and how and when they were filed, Troy, the state had this trigger law in place for more than a minute. They were just waiting to see what the United States Supreme Court was going to do with Roe v. Wade. Roe v. Wade gets overturned on a Friday. At least the opinion is issued on a Friday. So wouldn't the state, and I mean, you're a prosecutor, what goes on behind the scenes? Wouldn't the Attorney General's office have been prepared for somebody somewhere to file a lawsuit trying to get this trigger law at least put on hold in the short term, and then argue the case down the road? Don't you think they would have been ready for that?
Yeah, you would think they would. And one of the things that Mr. Green acknowledged at the hearing was that the state hadn't had time to submit all their arguments due to how quickly the case has moved. I get your point that you think that maybe they should have been prepared on Sunday or Monday before the hearing to have filed something substantive and be prepared to argue something substantive. It did move really quickly on them. And so maybe strategically they feel that they want more time because remember, this is 14 days and I get it. 14 days is a big deal on both sides of this. You have 14 days now more of arguably abortions occurring where the policy of the legislature is that abortions under certain circumstances are only allowed and others shouldn't be. So there's an argument that the state of Utah, I think, is going to try to strongly make that the policy interest in protecting life outweighs the harm to the plaintiffs and the moving parties here. They probably didn't have time to make that argument as well as they would like and to submit the evidence they want. And I think that they'll do that. As you come the next hearing we come to, PPA is trying to get a preliminary injunction, which was longer while the case is pending. And so hopefully the state of Utah's response will be more substantive and better than it was and that they had time to do at this temporary restraining order hearing. But I get your point. It's well taken that they may not have been prepared and maybe it moved quicker than they expected to is my guess.
But I would imagine as an attorney, if you can be attacked from a million angles or at least argued from a million angles, it's hard to prepare a million different arguments.
Oh, that's true. And I will say this, that even whether people agree with the issues on one side or the other, not no matter what your perspective is on this issue and what Utah's law is, PPAU's motion that they filed in the declaration were pretty well done. They made the best arguments, I think, that they could possibly make. They were prepared. They were ready. This was clearly, in my view, planned for a long time. They probably had this written and edited and ready to go. They're making arguments under the Utah Constitution. They had a pretty heavy burden to show. They had to show four things primarily. And if you want me to walk through those quickly, I will. If you don't have time, I won't. But they clearly calculated their pleadings and their declaration to meet the standard under Rule 65A of Utah Rules of Civil Procedure. And the state of Utah wasn't fully prepared and didn't adequately respond at that time. But again, remember, they've got a chance now. The first quarter's over. We're starting the second quarter then at the next hearing for the preliminary injunction. And I would expect that the state of Utah will be ready to rock and roll. And I'm telling you, Tyler Green's a good attorney.
Well, we appreciate you joining us. Thank you so much, Troy Rawlings, Davis County attorney.
I really appreciate him sorting through that with us. This was information that I was just unaware of and just in reading the many, many news articles I read. So thank you, Troy. And we're going to keep you on speed dial for the next hearing. So in that trigger law, it says, right, there's a few exceptions in the law for request or
allow an abortion.
Thank you.
Yep.
Rape is talked about in the law. And it says, to an extent, rape must be reported to law enforcement or proper authorities. But now we have a lawmaker who wants to change that part of Utah's new abortion law that is obviously on hold right now, like we just talked about. We're going to explain how she wants to change that part of the law next.
Dave and Dujanovic. Get a quick blast of news each morning.
From Ukraine to Utah County.
You'll hear it first.
And accurately.
On KSL.
Listen weekdays between 5 and 9 to Tim and Amanda.
Utah's morning companions for news.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America. But this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.